Dave Fanning on 2FM.
That's the voice that was shut up for a second. For God's sake, Brian, I'm trying to sort of big
your
you
job.
Up. In fact, tell you what, I don't want to big you up like I did before. You were here the year before. There was a million programmes on TV and all we spoke about was your two.
I know, yeah.
Anyway.
My three.
Three, sorry, God, get it right. Golden Globes is what we want to take a look at here. Brian Redden is the voice you listen to here because Golden Globes are finished. That was last week. And now attention turns to the Oscars. In fact, a lot of the quotes of the week in all the papers are taken from Ricky Gervais. Fantastic opening 7 minutes, I thought. Anyway, next month, that's on February the 9th, the great and the good and the not so good are going to gather in Hollywood. Many there hoping, of course, to bag a much coveted Academy Award. You'd like to think it's pretty straightforward, getting all that, the cream of the crop, best film, rise to the top, all the rest. But actually, an awful lot of planning and money goes into trying to secure an Oscar win. So the business of the so-called Oscar campaign is what I want to look at here now. And the film critic Brian Redden, and a lot more besides. Oh, sorry, wait a minute. What's the IFTA winner? Sorry.
You may as well throw that in the mix. Well, since we're talking about winning awards, I have won a few. So it's worth pointing that out, I think. In this context, it's a valid validation.
Shut up. Now, just outline a little bit about the Academy. What is the Academy?
What is the Academy? So the people who decide on the Oscars, and by the way, the nominations are coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's been nominated yet. Nobody knows. We'll find out tomorrow, but I'd imagine it'll be pretty much the same as the Golden Globes. You know, it usually is every year. To be honest with you, the Oscars has gotten very boring recently, you know, so I don't even know if I'd watch it. There was a time when I would have stayed up late to watch it, but now these days it's all very predictable.
But there was a time when the only thing that ever happened was the Oscars.
Yeah,
now,
that's
like,
true.
There's the TV soap awards on ITV every Tuesday night, like 52 weeks
yeah,
a year.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous.
It is. There's too many awards. But anyway, so it's the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences is the body that gives out the awards. And they give out the awards. They'll be giving them out in February. And they're the people who set up the Oscars. And they've been around since the early 1900s. And they're the guys who decide and vote on it. So there's 17 different chapters within the Academy. So that's everyone from... There's a chapter for directors and one for actors, one for cinematographers, one for editors.
And does the cinematographer only vote for cinematographers?
Well, the way it works is... No one really knows how many people are in the Academy, right? Up until recently, there was 9,000? A lot less. But it's increased a lot now. So there's almost 9,000 in the
Academy.
By
the way,
now.
Can I just say, last week's thingy-bobs, the Golden Globes, there's only about 90 people vote for that.
Yeah, it's very small. That's
less
a very
than
small area of the Hollywood Foreign Press. They're there.
Okay, so let's take 9,000. Now, you're telling me that these 9,000 people have seen all the movies up for consideration?
There's not a chance. So there's 9,000 people that vote. So that's the round figure across these 17 different categories. And the way it works, and you're right, I mean, have they seen all the films? I don't know. Because first of all, there's a long list, right? So the long list of so anybody really can put a film up to be nominated for an Academy Award as long as it's screened theatrically in the United States of America. Like, I know a friend of mine who makes short films, always books a cinema in Los Angeles, a flea pit of a place, for about $200 a night, and screens it for one night, which automatically makes it eligible to be
put
forward.
And that's why all the big Netflix ones, the three big ones at the moment, Irishman and Two Popes and Marriage Story, have to be in a cinema.
They have to be in a cinema. If you haven't screened a cinema, you're not eligible. So there's a long list. There's a very, very long list. And that long list eventually gets narrowed down to the list of nominees. And the way it works, as you asked there, can you vote in different categories? In the initial stages, you can't. No. So in the initial stages, you have a very long list of nominees, and actors can only vote for actors, directors only for directors, editors only for directors in the initial stage. Everybody can vote for Best Picture, but you have to stay within your category in the initial stages. So in that huge, big, long list, and God knows how long it is, and you're right, there is no way 9,000 members of the Academy could watch all of those movies. It's not possible. It's not practical, even though they would be sent all sorts of screeners. But anyway, that gets narrowed down to the list of nominees, which we'll find out on tomorrow. And then when you get down to that list of nominees, then everybody can vote for everybody. But to get to that stage, you can only vote in your own chapter. So when it gets down to the nominees, so if you want to win a Best Actor Oscar, there's potentially 9,000 people who can vote for you to get you to win that award. So that's the way it works. So your own chapter, first of all, everybody can vote for Best Picture. Once the nominees are announced, all bets are off. Everybody can vote for everything. And that's the way it works. So it's an interesting process. And then, you know, the whole thing is, do you want to win one? You know, so do you want to win one? First of all, obviously most people want to win an Oscar, but is it beneficial to you? That's interesting because for a movie, winning an Oscar isn't hugely beneficial in that most people have probably seen the movie up to that point, you know. So when a movie wins an Oscar, there isn't a huge bump in people rushing to go and see it. There isn't a huge financial gain to it. It's more prestige. But for actors, it's really interesting because there was a study done last year in Forbes magazine. Now, it was in February last year, 2019. So I'd say it has changed quite significantly since then. But they found that for an actor, a male actor, after winning an Oscar, his price for his next role goes up by 80%, right? A female actor, her price does not rise at all. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that's that kind is, of, sorry, it, what, really?
Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah. They were the figures they found. In February now, I'd say it's changed now, but in February 2019, Forbes has studied 80% bump in salary for an actor, no perceivable rise at all for an actress, which is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So actually winning an Oscar for an actress didn't do anything to you. Now, I'd say, as again, with the way things have gone in Hollywood and things have changed, I'd say that has changed now. But up until last year, that was the case. So as an actress, winning an award really meant nothing. As an actor, it meant that your price went up. It didn't mean you got offered better roles. It didn't mean you got offered better scripts. It just meant you could charge more for what you did. You know, famously, when Michael Caine won his Oscar for Hannah and His Sisters, he was off making Jaws 3 at the time, so he couldn't attend the ceremony, you know. A film which he later said that he never saw, but he heard it was, he had a great quote. Tell us about Jaws 3. He said, I never saw it, but I heard it was terrible. But I did see the house it built, and that is beautiful.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So really, it's interesting, you know, as to, in terms of financial gain, what actually winning an Oscar can do for you. For a movie, it doesn't do an awful lot except for the prestige. But of course, everybody wants to win an Oscar. So how do you go about winning an Oscar? Well, you would imagine back in the day it would have meant you'd just be very good at what you do, which, again, isn't really the case anymore. Now it's all about campaigning. Now it's all about getting out there, putting your name out there, and winning over the Academy. So it's become akin to a political campaign, really. It's like a presidential.
But if
campaign.
The nominations are out tomorrow for Best Movie, and it used to be 5, and now it's 9 or 10,
it can go up to 10. Movies, it's maxed out at 10.
Who decides on those?
On the 10?
Yeah.
The Academy.
But like,
so there's a long list.
So we're back to square one.
Yeah, so there's a long list, and then the Academy. So that long list, that 10 have come from a very long list that have been voted for. Everybody can vote for Best Picture. So the 9,000 members have tallied their votes. They've been added up, and they've narrowed it down to 10.
Have they?
Well, with them or their gardener, I don't know. So it's gotten down to 10. So that's what's happened there. Now, and with Best Picture, everybody votes on that. With the actor one that's announced tomorrow, those actors will have only been voted on by actors. How many actors are in those 9,000? We don't know because they don't list the names, you know.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, because that leads on to what we're talking about in terms of campaigning. If you knew the whole 9,000 members of the Academy and who everybody was, you'd be targeting them. And a lot of people know who's in the Academy. A lot of people know who is in their own branch. So they tend to target those people come Oscar time. And that's
I presume the guys
starts.
Behind the scenes campaign, and they spend an awful lot of money campaigning, and they probably get bonuses if the damn thing wins, etc.
Yeah.
Is it in your contract in a movie that, like, if this gets nominated for an Oscar, you need to be available for the party season kind of thing?
It is, and a lot of people just book that trend and don't bother with it. Like, for example, what's interesting, like this year, for example, Brad Pitt has said he will not campaign for the Oscar. So he's booking the trend. Most people will. But you are contractually obliged to do it, but he's not going to do it.
But like, Brad is just so cool.
Yeah. But see, it's interesting.
Have you seen him in Once More Time? He's just the man.
He is, yeah. And I'd say he probably will win. But the thing about it is, like, you have to campaign. And in terms of, certainly in terms of actors, you have to be out there and to be seen to be, you know, personable and likeable. That wasn't always the case. Because, I mean, like, people have refused Oscars, as you know, like George C. Scott famously refused an Oscar. Marlon Brando
sent an in.
Famously refused an Oscar. But when George C. Scott actually refused his Oscar in 1971 for Patton, right? When he was nominated, he said, look, I don't agree with the Oscars. It's a meat parade, is what he called it. He didn't believe in the idea that you know, actors could be competing against each other, or that there was a best of anything. So he actually said, I do not want to be nominated. They went ahead and nominated anyway. And after he was nominated, he said, if I win, I will refuse this award. And he still won. So even back then, I mean, you're telling the Academy, you're a meat parade, I hate you, don't nominate me. And if I win, I'm not going
to
accept it.
Thumbs up to the
Academy
is what you're saying here.
Yeah. And he still wins. Today, you couldn't do that. Today, it's the complete opposite. If you went up and said all that, there's no way you're going to get a nomination. Today, you have to go out and you have to be nice and you have to be seen to be playing the game. So really, what happens is the studios kind of look at what movies they think are going to win Oscars for them. And they have to sit down, they have to look and say, right, what's on our roster? What has done well this year? What's gotten good reviews? What's the buzz about? Right, this is what we're going to push. In this case, this year, it'll be The Joker, obviously. It'll be 1917. It'll be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It'll be The Irishman. So they're the big ones that'll be pushed, right? So it's an obvious, it's a no-brainer. That's what we're going to put our money into. So how do we do that? So what they have to do is they have to kind of get the story of the movie, right? You have to try and get that 9,000 members of the Academy to connect to the film in some way. And they've got to look on it like, what is the narrative of this movie? And that's beyond what the story of the film is. It's like, what is the story behind it? So like, is this the underdog movie? Is this the movie that, you know, couldn't get made but finally got made? Is this the movie that tells us something really important that we need to know about us ourselves today? Is this the film that shines a light on Hollywood? So they have to try and get them to connect to it. So you have to kind of create a story. So in this case, for example, The Joker will be, you know, the superhero movie that booked the trend, right? So
there are those who would point out and say there's no definite article in front of the word, but go on.
Sorry. Oh, it's just Joker, is it?
Joker, yeah.
Joker is the movie that
sorry,
booked
I'm not
trend.
One of those. I'm just telling you there are others.
So that's it. Now, I don't know if he's going to win. It'll be interesting to see. I think he's two way out there to win the best actor.
Did you see his speech last night?
I saw his speech for the love of rambling. But like, that's a good example of campaigning, though. He did not do himself any favours there, you know? So he goes up in the Golden Globes, makes a long, rambling, incoherent speech about F's and blinds, and then talks about the environment, which Ricky Gervais, I thought, was brilliant when he pointed out how wonderful they all were to be supporting the environment, eating vegan meals, as every one of them turned up in a separate limo.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so I think he's too out there, to be honest with you. I don't know if people are going to go, do you want to give that guy an Oscar? But, for example, Joker, that movie, not The Joker, which is a different movie, but Joker, that scene is the one that booked the trend, right? Irishman, or is it The Irishman? I think it's the definite article there. The Irishman. So that's the movie that shouldn't have got made. That's the movie that's been around for 20 years, right? Scorsese wanted to make it 20 years ago, so did De Niro. So that's got a good backstory to it. That's the story of The Underdog, the film that Netflix took on because all the Hollywood studios wouldn't touch it because it was going to be over 3 hours. So he kind of fought against the system to get that out there. Hollywood, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's about Hollywood. So the story they'll push on that is it's about us. It's us putting a light on ourselves. Renee Zellweger playing Judy Garland.
You can't go wrong there, I suppose.
That's about us. You can't lose with that. I mean, yeah. I would be convinced that Renee Zellweger's, she's certainly going to get a nomination. I may very well win. But why? Because it's about Hollywood. And Hollywood love movies about themselves. So it's about pushing that kind of narrative and pushing that story to trying to get, you know, trying to get the voters to connect to the story. So that's the first thing really you have to do. And as I said to you, in the past, like, Oscar campaigns didn't exist. There was no such thing, really. So like, you could literally, like George C. Scott, give the two fingers to the Academy and still win. So there was no such thing as Oscar campaigns. So the modern Oscar campaign was really developed by Harvey Weinstein, you know? I mean, the infamous Harvey Weinstein.
The second most thanked person in any speech or something at the Oscars,
the second
after
most
God or something.
After God.
And then Steven Spielberg is three and Meryl Streep is four or
it's
something.
It's God, Weinstein and Spielberg. They're the holy trio, the trinity of movie thanks. So Weinstein is, you know, an interesting character in lots of ways and for all the wrong reasons now, but certainly he was a bully. And we all know that now, but he was a bully in terms of his campaigns for Oscars. And like, he really aggressively went out there and decided,
and it worked.
Oh, he did. I mean, he had more Oscar nominations than than Walt Disney.
Yeah, really?
Harvey Weinstein, more than Walt Disney. He really aggressively campaigned. So what happened with him was, and it goes back to My Left Foot. That was the first film he did it for. My Left Foot was the very first film he did it for. So he's got My Left Foot and he wants to get it nominated for Oscars. He knows he's got a great film, but it's a small Irish movie with a first-time director and actors that nobody's ever heard of. So he's going, how do I do this? So he was very clever. He set up these screenings and he invited members of the Academy along to the screenings, which no one had done before. He used to target the members themselves. He would phone them. He would ring them up. He would email them. I don't even know there was email then. But he would certainly write to them and send them letters. And he would target each individual member. There would have been about 6,000 members then. But all those 6,000 members got a call from Weinstein or from his office. So he used to harass people into going to see the screening and really, really push them to try and to vote for his actors and vote for his movie. Interestingly, like, Daniel Day-Lewis, he got him up in front of Congress in America. They were talking about some Disability Act was coming through. So he managed to get him to talk to the American Congress about Disability Act and got him into the newspapers about that, talking about that. So he really pushed his actors forward and pushed them the narrative. In a tiny movie. And it paid off and he ends up winning two Oscars. Yeah. And that was the first time he did it. Famously, he managed to get Shakespeare in Love to win the Best Picture Oscar over Saving Private Ryan. Nobody knows how that happened. But that was him. And so it really, really aggressive campaigns. And like, it sounds really simple, get people along to see a movie. But studios didn't do that. You know, they did not force people to come along and see their films and set up these screeners. But what he would do is he would send out VHS tapes back then and then DVDs. Studios didn't do that. What they would do is they'd set up a screening in Hollywood, come along and see our movie and, you know, hopefully you like it and you'll vote for people. But Weinstein changed all that. The movie arrived through your letterbox and there it was. Like, I might remember a story. I was interviewing a very famous Irish actor once who remained nameless, who lives in a very kind of isolated area in Ireland. And I remember him telling me that one winter he was snowed in. It was a really bad winter coming up to December. He was snowed in. Nobody could get anywhere near him for about 4 or 5 days. So he got a load of supplies and he was literally in there. And then one day in the middle of a really, really bad snowstorm, there was a knock on the door and he opened up and it was a courier. And the courier had a DVD from Harvey Weinstein of a film for his consideration for the Oscars. And he says, how the hell did you get in here? No one's been able to get to me for the last 5 or 6 days. Your man said, oh, no, we just got a call. The call came through from Los Angeles. Come hell or high water, this was to get to you. The guy had to walk through snow, you know, up to his neck almost to deliver this DVD.
If these guys all pay an awful lot of money for these campaigns and they can go up to double figure millions, I presume. And
somewhere between, the estimates are somewhere between $3 and $10 million.
Really? Okay, well, if that's the case, like, can you do what they do in American ads a lot of the time in terms of big pharma or in terms of politicians? Say, you don't seriously want to vote for this moron. Look what he did. He's crap. Can you say somebody else's crap?
No.
Oh.
You used to be able to say that. You used to be able to do those anti-ads, and Weinstein was a master at it. But really following what he did, and he used to do that, he used to send all these ads saying, you know, this film is bad. And he would start up these anti-campaigns, as they call them, against other movies. And the rules have now changed, so you cannot do that. So if you enter into any kind of smear campaign against another movie, you're gone. You're out. And in fact, there's lots of rules. There's lots of rules about what you can and what you can't do. So coming up to winning your, coming up to getting your nomination, there's lots of things you can do. So, as I say, sending out screeners, which are little DVDs, or now there's no DVDs anymore. It's all links to Vimeo or whatever. So you can watch the film online. That's the first thing. So everyone gets to see it.
And every 25 minutes, this thing comes across screen
for your consideration. Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen one.
And not that you've seen one, but they're the things that get leaked online. And like when people say, you know, the screeners are out now at the moment, or the pirates are out there, that's basically some producer has gotten a link to a movie. He's allowed someone else access to it. They've managed to download it, and then it goes out there and it's on. Like, I mean, famously, Tarantino's last one, The Hateful Eight, I mean, there was something like 6 million downloads of that before it even came out in the cinemas. And that's because these screeners leak. But quite often, like as you say, the Academy are made up of very older people, and they just can't be arsed watching these movies. So they let their gardener watch it or their housemaid watch it, and you know, that just, it just gets leaked and it gets out there. So anyway, these screeners are what get to see. So you get to see the screener, or you go out to a screener which is hosted by a celebrity, or you go to a cocktail party, or you go to a dinner party. So the producer, and you can do anything you want coming up to getting your nomination.
But sometimes people are nominated and dirt comes out, and they probably wish they weren't nominated because the dirt gets bigger headlines.
Well, that's
than
what happens,
nomination.
Yeah. And once you get your nomination, right, there's certain rules. As you say, one of the rules is you can't, there's no anti-smear campaign against the movie. Also, you're not allowed to contact any members of the Academy. Right. So once your nomination is announced tomorrow, like if Brad Pitt is announced tomorrow.
What was Harvey Weinstein doing then?
Well, he was breaking the rules. He was breaking the rules.
And those rules were in place then?
And those rules, some of them were in place then, but most of them came in after him. But he was doing it anyway, you know. And there are repercussions. I'll tell you about them in a sec. But for example, so tomorrow if Brad Pitt is nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which he will be, he can't ring any Academy member. He can't bring them out for lunch. He can't invite them out anywhere. The only thing they can do is they can invite Academy members out as long as a screening is taking place. If they're there as part of a screening, they're allowed to fraternise with them. Otherwise, you're not allowed to do it. And if you do it, your nomination will be withdrawn. Now, as you mentioned, the whispering campaigns. And that's the thing that, again, it goes back to the big, bad Harvey. He started all this. Start leaking stories about your lead actors. Start leaking stories about your movies. Start, you know, like, so what he did was, very famous example was Slumdog Millionaire. Slumdog Millionaire was supposed to win everything, and it didn't. And why was
that? It won Best Movie about 10 years ago.
Why was that? Yeah, it won did it win Best Movie?
I don't know. I think it did. Oh, I think it
did. So it was up for all these awards, and a lot of them it didn't win. And the main reason was that, you know, this whispering campaign went out that the film producers had basically, when they were over filming in India, they'd mistreated cast and they'd mistreated crew, and they'd used the people for their own means, right? So this basically campaign came out, and then, you know, Danny Boyle had to
true
deny
or not
all
true.
This.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter whether it was true or not. They just started saying this. So all of a sudden that became tainted with this bad practice, you know? And then, like, actors, like, anything on an... And like, so where did these come from? You can't say for definite Harvey Weinstein started that campaign, and you can't say for definite where it came from, but there are these little whispering campaigns that get started, rumours get put out, and you'll notice, after tomorrow's nominations, you'll notice a lot of dirt and a lot of stories about the actors will start to come out. Last year was famous. I think Green Book went on to win. Despite everything, it went on to win Best Picture. And it was doing very well. And then people started to hear about the director, Peter Farrelly, who had a tendency to expose himself to women back in the day as a joke, right? He liked to whip it out and put it on a table. There you go. That's how he got his kicks. And then the writer of the movie, a tweet that he had tweeted years ago when the 9/11, when the terrorists came down. He claimed that he had seen these Muslim people out in the streets dancing and singing and all the rest of it. So that his tweet was released then. So that all of a sudden he was anti-Muslim, and the lead actor in the film is a Muslim. So that all came out. So they were going, where is this stuff coming from? Tweets that we had written, you know, 10, 15 years ago are suddenly coming back to haunt us. Then, of course, James Franco, who was up for Best Actor, it starts coming out about him and his mistreating of women. Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's brother, same thing about him. So all of these past indiscretions, which have been there for a very long time, and in some cases have been dealt with, and dealt with quite successfully, start to rear their ugly heads again around Oscar time. And it's no coincidence.
Some cases weren't necessarily true. I mean, the family of the Green Day guy were saying, like, no, I don't think this is very accurate necessarily, but they didn't actually say this is a disgraceful kind of whatever. Yeah. But the headlines made it look like that.
They made it look like that. And they were saying that they felt that some elements of it were, you know, did not portray their father as he was. But it wasn't a big deal. But it's made into a big deal. And as you say, some of them are just complete lies. Absolute, 100% lies. Mm. Just made up nonsense in order to discredit people. Gary Oldman would be a perfect example of it. Gary Oldman had an incident, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, where he threw a phone at, I think he threw a phone at his wife, and it was dealt with, and they'd reconciled, and they were still married. But then he's portrayed then as a wife beater, you know? So these little things, and I don't know, it's all very odd, but it gets dirty. That's the point. It gets down and very dirty. Anything you can do to win. And this isn't the actors doing this, by the way. You know, it's you would like to think not, but I don't think it is the actors doing it. It's the studios and it's the producers.
Hiring strategists and consultants, etc.
It's like a presidential campaign. What they're doing is they're hiring in these guys, and a lot of them used to work for the likes of Obama and Clinton and all that, and they are strategists, and they come in and say, right, how can we get this guy to win the Oscar? Well, we've got to throw some mud and hope some of it sticks. And they start to do it, and it gets very, very dirty. But I mean, if you're an actor and your fee's going to go up by 80%, you know, it's in your interest to win an Oscar. And the movie, obviously, it's all about prestige, and it's all about getting your next gig. It's never about that movie. It's about getting the next gig. So yeah, so that's what they do. They hire these guys. It's unfortunate, but it actually happens. But so that goes on an awful lot, and that goes on, and all of that is out there to try and influence Academy members. But what, at the end of the day, what you have to do is you have to go out and you have to be like a politician. So once the nominations are announced tomorrow, Brad Pitt won't do it, but everybody else will. You will have to go along to screenings. You will have to go along to question and answer sessions. You will have to do the chat show circuit, do podcasts, come on radio programs, appear like a nice guy, appear like you are humbled and honoured to receive this nomination, appear like you are worthy of winning it, and let Hollywood see that this guy is going to get up and give a great speech. This guy really wants this, and this guy really deserves it. So you have to go out like a politician, shake hands and kiss babies. And if which is why I don't think Phoenix is going to do very well, because he doesn't do that well, you know. He's not a figure that is well loved within Hollywood. And in this day and age, I think you have to be out there and you have to be seen to be loved and to be nice.
Did you hire a strategist for your IFTA?
No, I didn't actually. No, really? I just went out and did it all myself. No, you can't even do it in the IFTAs. It's the same all the way through. Like, if I said it, when I was nominated for an IFTA, which I went on to win, as we all know.
Were you nominated for an IFTA?
Yeah, I nominated for several. One.
And did you win?
I did. And I won that on the back of really of talent and obviously the end product, because you're not allowed to go out and start emailing people. Now, let me give you an example of that actually. So back in 2014, right? So are there repercussions? There are repercussions. Back in 2014, I'd never heard of this film. It's called Alone Yet Not Alone, right?
It's a movie.
It was a movie, and it was nominated for Best Song. Right, the guy, I had to write this down because I never even heard of the guy. Bruce Broughton was his name, right? He was nominated as for composing the best song. So what did Bruce do? Like tomorrow, his name was announced as a nominee for best song. Fantastic. He's up there with the likes of Elton John. Wonderful career highlight. He starts to email people. And he sent out over 200 emails to Academy members to say, just being nominated, fantastic. Just to let you know, I'm out there, I've been nominated. I don't know how you do it without looking too crass, but really appreciate your support and consideration on this. The Academy found out about it. His nomination was withdrawn.
That's hold on a second. If you release a song, you're allowed to send it to somebody. If he just said, here, do you want to hear my song?
That would have been fine.
Would it?
It would have been fine.
God,
it would have been fine. But he went specifically to Academy members and mentioned the nomination and asked them for their consideration. And that, if he was just saying, this is my song,
lads,
have a listen to it. So it's a very thin line, and he was struck off. In 2017, the Michael Bay film about Benghazi, 13 Hours, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
John Krasinski was in it. So that was nominated for Best Sound Mixing. And it was four guys as part of the sound mixing team. This is in 2017. So four of them were nominated as part of the sound mixing team. One of them started phoning people within his branch to tell them that he'd been nominated and it'd be great if they would consider him. The Academy found out that he was phoning people. He was dropped from the nomination.
Really?
So only three of them went ahead and nominated. And he was dropped. And actually, they went on to win. So what a slap in the face that was. They won anyway. But because he phoned people. So there are rules. You cannot engage the Academy once the nomination has been made. Those 9,000 members are off limits. Don't go near them. Don't email them. Don't ring them. The only way you can engage with them is to bring them to a screening of your movie.
All right, Brian, that's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
It'll be a new light shed on all this when I hear the nominations coming out tomorrow. And then what did I say? February
9th?
You
know what? But for all February that, something. Brad Pitt's going to win, right? And Brad Pitt is not engaging in any of this. So Brad Pitt has said, no, I'm not doing the chat show.
Be above it all.
He's going to be above it all. And he's going to win. So you can book the trend, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because he's kind of like an unstoppable machine now. Yeah. Because he's in this great movie.
And
it's about Hollywood.
Didn't do him any harm this year.
Ad Astra didn't do him any harm. And he's brilliant in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he's going to win despite all that. So there are exceptions to the rule, you know?
Yeah, right. Listen, Brian Redden, thanks a million, Brian. Any more if to... forget it. I couldn't bother. I'll talk to you about that the next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM. 2FM.